Father, we love you, Lord, this morning and give you praise and glory. Thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. And we know it also will give understanding to the simple. We receive that light and that understanding this morning. And we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to talk about blessings in season and out of season. Now, this is because we've been talking about times of refreshing. And this will go right along with that. Now, I've taught on this lesson before, but I think it will complement the series that we've been doing. So let's consider this for a little bit. Now, what does in season and out of season mean? And as you see this title on this room today, what comes to mind? I will also ask that you engage. You can engage the lesson at any time by putting reactions and comments in the chat room while the lesson is going on. While I'm speaking, you can give your reaction in the chat room. So let's try that first of all before we even go any further. When you see this topic, blessings in season and out of season, what comes to mind immediately? Type that in the chat room, if you would, please. All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, God wants us to be blessed. Now, whether in season or out of season. And I want to address the in season and out of season in general first, before we talk about the blessings in season and out of season. So, we've been talking about seasons and knowing what to do when God gives us times of refreshing. Well, so that's one thing, but then what if we're not in the season of the times of refreshing? So we want to talk about that as well. So thinking about, you know, season, you can look at even the natural things like seasons of weather, you know, patterns in where we live. We may have, it may be springtime now, later it may be summer, fall, winter, and all those things. Those are seasons. There's also, you know, planting season and harvesting seasons and all of that. And, you know, again, there are seasons and times for everything. Now, as far as the Bible and is concerned, or lessons in spiritual life, well, you can think of it as appointed times for specific things. It could be a, you know, a short period or long period, but it's, you know, divinely appointed and divinely ordained. We can also think of spiritual growth and different stages in life, just like Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about, you know, the seasons and the times and so forth. Now, when we say something is in season, well, that means we expect that that's what should be happening around that time. If it's a season, you know, of say wheat harvest, for instance, or maybe you know, the vegetables or fruits or whatever, it's a season. Even in the grocery stores where we go, some things are seasonal. During the season, if you go in the season, there's plenty of it. You know, but if it is out of season, you may not even find it. There are some stores that we even go to that we may not find things because those are seasonal products. you know, there was a time I went to a store looking for, you know, apple cider and all of that. And they said, oh, we don't carry that this time. It's, you know, it's a seasonal product. I said, season now? I said, apple cider? You know, it was this, you know, the large bottles, you know, like the ones you would use for toast in an event. Non-alcoholic, of course. And I said, wow. I said, oh, yeah, there's this other store. You can go there. They carry it all the time. But we only carry it around the holidays. I said, oh, okay. Didn't know that. You know, so even for things like that, you know, you may be looking for fruits. And there will be some seasons where the fruits will be in plenty. And sometimes they'll be scarce. Now, farmers, you know, that bring this produce to us, they have mechanisms whereby they preserve things when it's out of season so that they can still be able to share, you know, when it's out of season. And so that's another concept that we need to think about. How do you make provision for something when it's out of season and you can make provision while it's in season? There are several thoughts that you can develop around that area. You know, the story of Joseph, for instance, in Egypt, the lesson and, you know, knowledge and wisdom and discretion that he gave to Pharaoh concerning the years of plenty and the years of famine. Well, think of those years of plenty as in season. And he said, well, what do you do in season? Well, you save up for out of season. That's a lesson that many people still need to learn. You know, when things are in season, we don't think necessarily of the out of season cycles that may be coming. You know, we just, you know, do things as though they are always going to be in season. Well, they're not. Even if you plant a garden and have vegetation in there and garden fruits and stuff like that, they're not always in season. You know, they will, you know, you will have seasonal harvests and there'll be times when they're not in season. But, you know, remember we've been talking about that we ought to know what to do in times of refreshing. So when God gives you abundance, say in season and times of refreshing, then what should you do? If we look at the story of Joseph in Egypt, the wisdom that he gave, and Pharaoh, of course, had these dreams, which nobody else could interpret. And finally, when they called Joseph, well, he said, the dreams of Pharaoh are the same, even though they were doubled up to him. The seven fat cows and the seven lean cows and the ears of corn that looked good and the ones that were mean, said the dream mean the same thing. Well, what God is showing, Joseph said, is that, well, there will be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. In this particular case, God gave them plenty first. And he said, in the years of plenty, you're going to have surplus. But the years that are coming after that, they will be so severe that you will even forget all the surplus that you had in the years of plenty. Now that was some real wisdom, you know, that he gave there. And he said, well, what you must do is, look, God is showing you this thing for a reason. And what you must do is, in the years of plenty, the excesses, you know, that go beyond what you need. And if you flourish and have much more than you need, what you need to do is save it up. And he brought a principle there that many people don't even understand, even believers, you know, until this day, you know, people, you know, let me just read some of it to you. There are many aspects of this lesson I want to cover. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Now this is Genesis 41. In the beginning of that chapter, Pharaoh dreamed a dream about, you know, two things, which he told to his magicians. Nobody could interpret it. And so finally, the butler remembered Joseph and said, well, I remember my fault this day because I know there's a man that I met in prison when my lord, the Pharaoh, was angry with me and the baker and cast us both into prison. This young man was able to interpret a dream that we both had one night. And he interpreted it and fell to me as he interpreted and he fell to the other as he interpreted. Me, Pharaoh, restored the other, he hung, just like the man said. Let Pharaoh now fetch this man, and he will declare to Pharaoh his dream. So the, you know, well, that was the beginning of a turnaround for Joseph also. So anyway, you know, they brought him before Pharaoh, and Joseph said, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are also 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after the 7 years, and the seven empty ears of corn that are blasted with the east wind shall also be 7 years, years of famine. This is the thing which I've spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he has showed unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not even be remembered by reason of the famine that shall follow. For it shall be very grievous. Now, that was the dream. And the Lord had doubled. Now, here comes the interpretation. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing has been established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, so now here comes the wisdom that he is going to bring, you know, to handle this situation. Knowledge of the what's going to happen was one thing, but what you're going to do about it, that's the other thing. So here's what he said, you know, let Pharaoh look for somebody, right, that is a wise man and discreet, and set him over the land of Egypt, and let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land in those seven plenteous years. So here comes a secret of savings, 20% savings when you have plenty. It's right here, you know, and this is little taught or little even known in the scriptures that, you know, this is divinely inspired. When you have extreme plenty and overflow and surplus, save some, perhaps 20%, you know, of the thing, 1/5, that's 20%. You know, enjoy 4/5, save 20%, that's wisdom. He said, put 20% away every time, every one of those years. You know, by the time that you get to the seventh year and you've been putting away 20% of the increase of each of the previous years, you will even have more than 100%, you know. You will have 140%, or at least 120 the past 6 years. So, I mean, that's a principle of what happens out of season. The in season was when everything was producing and everything was great. And you were getting surplus and abundance of produce and increase. Well, that Israel ought to know what to do by understanding the times. In the times of increase, what do you do? This is part of the lesson. Yeah, in season and out of season. In order for you to have blessings in season and out of season, here's something you must do when you are in season. When you are in season and there is plenty, you must save for the rainy day. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, bread basket and storehouse. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, he said, the Lord will bless your bread basket and your storehouse. Well, bread basket is what you eat of right now on your table. Storehouse is where you put up for the rainy day, you know. And if you don't have the wisdom, you eat everything up during the in season. And when out of season comes and you start to cry unto the Lord, Lord said, but I already gave you surplus. You know, what did you do with it? Now, you know, God will meet our needs. You know, he will make sure that you always have enough. You know, God always giving you all sufficiency. I mean, for all things, the scripture says. But when God gives you more than you need, what's the reason? And he really doesn't have to give you all that abundance and overflowing, but he can give you, I mean, he will meet your needs. So if he gives you abundance and overflowing, well, number one, you should be a blessing to others. Out of your belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. So if you have abundance, you know, he that have gathered much had not too much because they were able to share. And those that didn't gather enough, they didn't lack because those that had plenty, they shared. You know, so if the Lord gives you a super abundance and you squander everything, and then when the time of out of season comes, then you begin to be in want, you know, and then you begin to cry out to the Lord. Lord will say, but I already made provision for now, you know, but you are foolish, you know, and the Lord will call it out and say, well, you are languishing now because of lack of knowledge. And so use knowledge and use discretion and prudence. So when you get an increase, maybe if you are in business, you're an entrepreneur, you're this, you're that, something is flourishing, there's an inflow of blessings, or you are even on the job, you get promotion, you get a bonus, you get this, you get that, you know, what do you do? Should you, is that the time when you should just go on a shopping spree, spend everything, you know, travel the world, spend everything? Well, I mean, that's good. It's good for a man to enjoy the, you know, his labor. The fruit of his labor is the gift of God. But if you don't use wisdom to put away, like Joseph said, well, when the time of famine comes, you will even forget. You know, he said, look, all those years of plenty where things were overflowing will even be forgotten by reason of the harshness of the years that will follow. That's wisdom. So put away 20%. And as they were putting away, they didn't even have enough places to be. So, well, build more reservoirs to save up these things that are surplus right now, because there's time coming when there will not be any. And by that wisdom, not only did he make Egypt to flourish, even the rest of the world, they heard that there was corn in Egypt. Well, the rest of the world was famished, and they started coming to buy. And he made a lot of money for Pharaoh. This Joseph was a good Joseph. He got the wealth of the world at that time. He got it for Pharaoh. Another evil Joseph will come at the end of the age. Yeah? You know, in the Antichrist system. He will gather everything too, but that, he will be an evil one. Well, let's leave that by the side. But today, let's talk about in season. When another in season example is when you are on the job. Those of us that work in the United States here have a job. There is a seasonal commitment from your employer, you know, but actually it's regular, you know. It's regular, but that's the season. I mean, you work for 2 weeks, you get a pay or whatever, a month of pay, you know, whatever the contractual agreements are. You know, you expect to get paid at that time. If it's a 2 week pay period, then at the end of 2 weeks, some employers will even do automatic deposits for their employees. In other words, you don't even have to be looking for it. They automatically send it to your bank. I mean, because, you know, that's it. Now that's in season blessing. That's another way of thinking of it. You know, you work, you expect, you know, you sow, you reap. That's in season. You know, that's not, I mean, there's nothing to it. In fact, if the employer doesn't pay you, you can sue them because, you know, you've already earned it. This is something you've earned. You know, you work for 2 weeks, you get paid. You work for a month, you get paid. Whatever it is, you know, you get paid. So that's in season blessings. It's coming your way already. You know, but we're also going to talk about how to be kind of flowing with the blessings, even when it's out of season. We're going to talk about that in a bit, but let's focus on this in season. You know, things are working, things are flourishing in season. You can be even in season with spiritual things. When you are in season, you're like a mountaintop, you know, boom, boom, boom. You speak the word of God's coming to you, Holy Spirit. You know, you're getting revelation again, dimension. That means like you are in the light. You know, that's in season. You're on the mountaintop. You're in the light. You know, I mean, everything. But someday, out of season comes. It'll be like you sit in darkness. You know, Micah brought it out perfectly. Micah, you know, he said, look, there is a time when I am in season, when I'm in the light. But there's also a time when I am, you know, sitting in darkness. It's not really that you are in darkness. As a child of God, should not be in darkness. But sometimes you are sitting in darkness. And when you are sitting in darkness, it seems like you can't hear the voice of God. You pray, but God is silent. You ask, but you receive not. You know, and it's like, my goodness, I can't hear from God. What's going on here? Well, that may be your out of season time. What do you do in that time? You know, he said, well, the Lord will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. That's right. He will bring you to the light. And then my enemy will see it and they will know that the Lord is with me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, that's your out of season. You know, that's you're sitting in darkness. The word of the Lord is nowhere. You're not hearing and receiving instruction like you used to. You know, you pray and there seems to be no answer, you know. What do you do in those cases? Well, you remember what the Lord already gave you when you were in the light. In the in-season times, when you were hearing the word of God, did you store it up? You know, the things that God showed you then, did you take a note of it? Did you write it down? Did you store it up? Because there come in a time when you may not hear anything. And it seems as if God is far away. And God will say, I already told you. But the Holy Spirit will be there to remind you, you know. So it's not all the time that you will be in season, flowing. Even preachers of the word of God. Paul spoke to Timothy. He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. What in the world does that mean? You know, How should I be in season, and out of season? Well, in season for preaching the word, I can tell you that being a teacher of the word myself is when things are just flowing. I mean, you got revelation. You've got direct point blank instruction from the Lord. He's speaking to you face to face. what you should speak. And that's a good one. But then there are times when you don't hear it like that exactly. Then what do you do? 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. You can't sit around and say, well, I didn't hear the word of the Lord today. Well, you still have to preach the word of the Lord. So what do you do then? Well, you rely on the Holy Spirit who bring to your remembrance some things. And sometimes it'd be in season. Sometimes it's even you're not ready. I remember once telling somebody, reminding somebody that, oh, it's your time to preach at the church. And they said, and it was the morning of the day. And I thought they knew because we had a calendar. And they said, oh, I didn't know. And I said, well, now is your opportunity to be able to preach, out of season. When you are new about it, you prepared, you studied, you grabbed scriptures, you did all of these things. Some people even write down their sermons. They do all of that. I don't, but some people do, and that's okay. But now, all of a sudden, you got to preach in a couple of hours, and you're just being reminded, and you didn't know about it. You had a whole week or even weeks in between the last time that you were your schedule to prepare. But all of a sudden, you're finding out now, and just a few hours ago, what do you do? I said, well, you got to do it out of season. That's exactly right. You got to be instant, ready, in season, out of season. Doesn't matter. You got to be ready. You practice the presence of the Lord to the point that season, in season or out of season, it's the same thing. You can always draw on the wells of salvation. Glory to God. And can always also draw on the wells of the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. He'll be there with you. So that's in season, out of season, even in spiritual things. But this in-season stuff, when we talk about material blessings, it's also like you're looking for something that you expect is coming to you, and it comes to you anyway. And God is meeting your needs that way. I mean, God can meet our needs in so many ways. He can meet your needs through in-season blessings. You got a job. That's a great way that God can meet your needs. There is a regular salary that's coming. It's on schedule. You can plan around it. And there are some others that are not so blessed or so privileged. Maybe you are in business. There may be no regular schedule. And if you are, have a restaurant or a small business or shop or you're selling stuff, sometimes people will come. Sometimes they may not come to buy anything. And it may be those days that they don't come for quite a while. You have no sales. That's your out of season. Because now, but you must still run that business. Some people here, they have, to pay for the store or the shop that they rent. Sometimes it's thousands of dollars a month they have to pay for that place, which means that even when you have inflow, first of all, let's say you have to pay $5,000 to rent the place. That means the first $5,000 that you earn is not even yours because you got to pay the rent. Then you got to pay your, employees or whatever. That's why some people can't, small businesses, they cannot hire too many employees because it takes away, the overhead is too much, takes away their profit. So they try to do it on themselves and then they get burnt out, So, I mean, all these things are there. Now, in those kind of businesses, there's no guaranteed everyday income like that, or every moment, perhaps you sign a contract with, you're a vendor and you are on a schedule. Well, that's good. But if you are just depending on customers coming and buying stuff from your restaurant, or from your small business shop or whatever, what if they don't come? Then you are out of season. So what do you do when you are out of season? Is God able to meet your needs when you are out of season like that? And that's the second part of this lesson. You know, now some of us are used to in season thing from the Lord only, to the point where we have not learned dependency even when we're out of season. So at times God may let you be out of season for a bit that you may learn to depend on him. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14 explains that. It said, in the day of prosperity, that's in season, rejoice, because things are flowing. You are in season. You are hearing the word of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is telling you things. You know, business is booming. Customers are coming all around, you know, spiritual, material, everything. You know, look up the various in-season things. But then adversity comes. You are out of season. In the day of adversity, consider, you know, that God allows both. Because you are in season long enough, all the time, you may forget that God is the one that even giving you that in-season blessing. And you begin, you know, enough time passes, you begin to depend on that source rather than depending on the Lord. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to your salary, not according to the proceeds of your business, not according to whether you have customers coming or not coming, you know. And that scripture covers everything. It covers in season when you have regular income coming. It covers also out of season, because he said he will supply according to his riches, not according to your salary, you know, but according to your, not according to that, but according to his riches. So when customers are not coming, what do you do? Well, you must depend upon the Lord. The Lord is a source of everything, you know, and he wants us to depend on him. Jeremiah 2 and 13 says, my people have committed two evils, you know, because they forget me. I'm the source and the fountain of everything. They forget me and they go to start to, you know, hew to themselves cisterns that cannot bring forth any water. They turn away from the Lord and turn to the golden calf. I mean, all kinds of things, you know. So, no, we got to keep depending on the Lord. The Lord has set both side by side, according to Ecclesiastes 7 and 14, you know, for the purpose that we should always trust in the Lord and not in anything else. Sammy said, look, you know, give me bread just enough. Let me not have too much, lest I forget the Lord. And let me not have not enough, lest I blaspheme the Lord and go and steal and cause shame, you know, unto the Lord. But let there be a balance. Well, there's a way that there can be a balance too. You can use wisdom. you know, when a lot of people don't have wisdom, they have, you know, the prudence. They just overspend in the days of plenty. And then when they begin to be in want, kind of like the prodigal son that came into a lot of wealth, he was a foolish son because he didn't know what to do with that wealth. I mean, he could have gone and traded with it and he would have been set for the rest of his life. But he didn't. He was living in the moment. There's a lot of people that live in the moment. Just live in the moment, you know, enjoy, you know, and so forth. They won't be castles in the air, so to speak. You know, I do all kinds of things. You know, well, then what happens when, you know, the bubble is busted and then they begin to be in want, and then nobody is going to remember you at all. You know, all the people that he was spraying his money around and spending when he was lavishly throwing parties and doing everything, nobody remembered him when he started to be in want. Not a single person. Nobody gave him anything. Nobody helped him. You know, they were looking for a job. Nobody would even give him a job. Nobody gave him anything. You know, now finally found a job. you know, to take care of pigs. Can you imagine? You know, and wallowing in the mire and everything with the pigs and the husks that the pigs were eating. If somebody even gave him, he would gladly have eaten of that, but they didn't even give him. That's what the pigs, you know. So, I mean, can you imagine? This man was completely wiped out, bottomed out, wiped out because of his foolishness. Because in the days when he had excess, he didn't know what to do to prepare for the days of want that would certainly come. And these cycles will come in season and out of season. They will come. But the way that God wants you to be blessed, you know, is all year round. God wants you to be blessed in season and out of season. In fact, God wants you to never be out of season, so to speak. You know, Joshua 1:8 says, whatsoever you do will prosper if you keep your mind on the Lord and keep the word of the Lord in your mouth, meditating on it, speaking the word, thinking of it, and so forth. You have good success. Whatever you do will prosper. Psalm 1 goes even deeper. It says, well, you'll be as though you were planted by the rivers of living water. You'll be connected to the source. You know, you continue to be in season. You know, you will not have a dry season like that. You know, that's powerful stuff. You will not have a dry season. But it doesn't come just by wishful thinking. You've got to have the knowledge and the right kind of training to apply your heart unto wisdom. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. He's connected. You know, this is connection in high places. He's got some real connections. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Well, at first, if you stop there, it looks as if, well, okay, he brings forth his fruit in his season, and after the season, he has nothing. That's if you stop there. But if you read the next line, he says, his leaf also shall not wither. That means he will not have out of season. Leaves wither when you are out of season. In the fall season, that's when they wither. You know, and so forth. In the winter, they're completely dead. You know, in the spring, they begin to come back to life. And the summer, they bring forth fruit. You know, the whole season going on like that. You know, but this one, because he's connected, it looks like he will never even be out of season. You know, there is no fall season where his leaves will wither away because he's always in season. And he has found wisdom. He has found understanding. With all he's getting, he has gotten understanding of how, you know, to flourish, you know, like the palm tree all year round. Flourish. How do you do it? You know, even when there is scarcity, how do you still flourish? Well, you do it with the wisdom of the Lord. While men are cast down, Job 22:29, you know, there's a casting down. There's famine everywhere, you know, but you are flourishing because you figured something out. It'll give you an advantage. You know what to do in the times of refreshing, so that when the times of hardship comes, you're set up. You know, so this is part of the lesson. Now, listen to this. Knowing that the Lord wants us to flourish all the time, you can read Job 22:29 for that. Say, look, when people are complaining, when men are cast down and say there is a downcasting, the economy is hard, things are difficult, this is not moving, and so forth, you, on the other hand, will be saying there's a lifting up. Things are looking up. Things are looking bright. They are in the world. You know, that's easier said than done. Well, maybe, but if you learn instruction and wisdom from the Lord, he will take care of you. And he will make sure you know, that you can flourish. Psalm 92 verses 12 to 15 shows you how if somebody can flourish even when they should not be flourishing. You know, he said, look, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish even out of season. That's it right there. You know, they shall flourish. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree is one of those trees that can survive even harsh winters and various things. It just seems to flourish all the time. You know, it grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those cedars, they have deep roots. You know, those trees that have deep roots, oak trees and different things like that, you know, they sink their roots very deep down, not just surface or superficial, you know, roots. Go deep down and they will get nourishment. It's like when you're trying to dig a well, you dig on the surface, you find nothing, you go deeper, something with boreholes, and then you'll find something. You know, you go deep, and it'll be even clean water. Well, those roots, when they go deep like that, they flourish. They can bring forth, even when there's nothing happening, you know, above ground. Something's happening on the inside. You shall grow root downward and bring forth fruit upward. Now, they will be, because they are planted in the house of the Lord, because they are hearty toward the Lord always, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. What's the courts of our God? The whole earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24, verse 1. The people and everything that is in the earth belongs to the Lord. Those are the courts of the Lord. Everywhere you go, you flourish. You shall still bring forth fruit in old age. It shall be fat and flourishing. Show that the Lord is upright. Bring forth fruit. Even, you know, when everything, you know, in old age, they shouldn't be prospering anymore. They shouldn't have anything going for them. They are in old age. But this one says no. You know, they are flourishing all the time. They found understanding, you know, of how to flourish. Praise the Lord. You know, listen to this in Psalm 37. Verses 18 and 19. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They will never be out of season. They shall not be ashamed, even in evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Because the Lord has a way to keep them in season, even when it is out of season all around them. Glory to God. Jesus was talking about, you know, seasonal light too. He said, well, are there not 12 hours in the day? Well, if somebody walks in the day, he will not stumble because he can see the light of the sun. You know, that's for everybody. Everybody can see the light of the sun. Well, but when the nighttime comes, that's out of season, most people will stumble because there's no light around. But there are some people that will not stumble. So they have light inside of them. The way that Jesus put the reason that people stumble when it's dark, it's not because there is no light outside. He said it's because there is no light inside. You know, that's John chapter 10 and verse 11. Read it for yourself and think about it. You know, John 11 verse 10, said that backwards. You know, the Lord was talking about it. He said, look, you know, what do you do in times, you know, like this? When it is time, he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? You know, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, right? Because he sees the light of day. So everybody sees the sun and they can, you know, yeah. The sun can guide them. They don't need to stumble over anything because everybody can see the light. But when it is night, out of season, you know, then the man will stumble, Jesus said. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. But why? You know, this should tell you, because there is no light inside of him. Not that there's no light around him, but he himself has no light. So this tells you, if you really look at it, the revelation of this verse is that, look, if you have light inside of you, doesn't matter whether there is no light outside. That's right. You still will not stumble if you have light inside of you. You know, this is the man who, you know, it's out of season all around him, but inside, he's in season. Because inside of him, he has light. Even in spiritual things, even any way you look at it, if you are connected and you stay connected, you will be in the light when others are in the dark. You will be able to say there is a lifting up when people are saying there is downcastedness. You will be in season when others are out of season. And even for you personally, when you should be out of season, because, you know, the palm tree languisheth, because things are cut off from the vine, like, you know, Habakkuk 3 and 17 says, look, everything is cut off. Everything is, I mean, I've lost everything, he said. Nothing going. I mean, at one time he was flourishing, and then the next thing you know, everything is lost. He said, the fig tree is not blossoming. There is no fruit in the vines. Habakkuk 3 and 17. The labor of the olive is failing. It's like, you know, we're out of season. The fields are yielding no meat. There's nothing going on. The flock is cut off from the fold. You know, there's no herd in the stores. You know, all these things are there. But he's going to pull out something from the inside. He's got something on his inside. He calls it the joy of the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord is my strength. And all of a sudden, you know, situation that it should look like it was bankrupt and so forth, things begin to change. He said, the Lord will begin to make my feet like hinds feet again. He will begin to cause me to walk upon my high places again. You know, now all of a sudden, you know, he's back in season, even though he was out of season. And because he has learned to stay connected. Now, that's one way you look at this, spiritually speaking. But materially speaking, you got to use wisdom. Wisdom on your job, according to the economy and so forth. Well, things may not work the way the economy looks, but God promises tranquility and rest and assurance and quiet dwellings for you. Isaiah 32 and verse 17, you know, said, look, despite, you know, what may be going on around you, here is what you will be having, you know. What will you be having? Well, let's read it, you know, together. The walk of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. My people shall dwell in, you know, peaceable habitations, sure dwellings, and quiet resting places during the hail. See, this is the thing. If you don't read the rest of it, you won't know why I'm saying it this way. During the hail, when it is coming down upon this forest, when the city shall be in a low place, when everything shall be in desolation, you know, yet my people shall dwell in quiet resting places. They shall be in season when everything else is out of season. You know, blessed be the name of the Lord. Even you as an individual, when you should have been out of season, you will be in season, because when you were in season and you had surplus, you had enough sense to put away 20%. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, that needs a lot of discipline sometimes. But, you know, the Lord also said that, look, there is something that eats up your excesses. I mean, your supply, not excess as in bad thing. You know, your surplus. you know, when you should have had surplus, the cankerworm, caterpillar, the locust, the palmerworm, they come in there, it eat up your stuff so that you really don't have the blessing that God has given you. These things come in there and eat it up. So the Lord has seen it and he is going to do something about it. And here's what he said he's going to do about it. In the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 62, you know, verse 8, you know, and verse 9. This is what the Lord's going to do about it. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his arm of his strength, surely the time for you to be laboring and cankerworm and caterpillar and palmerworm and locust are eating everything up. Say that time is over. Ha, glory to God. You know, now, you know, your labor will be to your own benefit. When you labor, you will eat of it. When you gather it, you will enjoy it. You know, I will no more allow the stranger, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the locust, and the palmerworm to eat up your stuff. You know, like the Midianites used to wait for the children of Israel to do all the threshing, and then they come in there, bully them, and get everything. In the days of Gideon, you know, so the Lord said, no, I'm not going to let that happen. But ye that have gathered it shall eat it. And you will praise the Lord. And you that have brought it together, you will drink it. You know, you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. And you will keep enjoying even in the days when nothing is happening. Because the Lord can supply your needs even out of season. Now, let me talk about out of season a little bit. Out of season blessings is when God meets your needs beyond your means. That's another part of this lesson. God can meet your needs with your means. In other words, most people, when they can't pay their rent, they are believing God for a job. I need a job. When you have a job, maybe you can pay your rent. Well, maybe you have a rent that is more than your job, then you look for a better job, you know. So God can use your means to meet your needs. And that he does that for the most part, 90-something% of the time, that's it. You know, because it's still God that will help you, give you, you know, an opportunity to get that job. And through it, you know, meet your needs. But I want to talk to you about God meeting your needs beyond your means. You know, now, there are some people in certain countries of the world that always are beneath their means because of the way their systems, the economy is working against them and so forth. And if you feel, if you are here and you feel that you are always living beneath your means, which is, you know, the income you get from your job, your salary, your pension, your whatever, or your small business or anything, it's not enough, you know, to take care of your needs. Well, then you got to turn to the Lord. The Lord can do and meet your needs even beyond your means. Now, that's out of season blessings in a way. Some out of season blessings can come from you being wise and laying up. I've already talked about that. But now I'm talking about this one where it's God, you know, meeting your needs. Say, well, how? Well, you know, that's his department. You know, God can meet your needs even be, it's like stretching the dollar, so to speak. That's how we say it, you know. A little one becoming 1,000. A small thing. You know, Jesus taking a little boy's lunch that could only feed maybe one or perhaps at most two persons. If the boy was willing to share it with his friend, maybe they could, you know, both of them at best. And Jesus taking that, you know, and using it to feed thousands. Whereas people said, well, what is that among so many? We got a little boy that gave us his lunch, but what is that among so many? See, now, this is what people say. You say, well, my salary economy in my country is so bad right now. What is this salary among this problem that I have? And that's this existing conditions. Well, you know, that's what you think. But in the hands of the master, something can change drastically. In fact, miraculously. And consider that lesson. And in fact, Jesus one time, he was asking them, say, look, because he wanted them to remember it. Don't forget it. You know, when you had the two loaves, I mean, the two fishes and five loaves or whatever, or the five loaves and two fishes, whatever. How many did you take up? When you had this one, how many did you take up? Jesus was trying to remind them, say, look, how many baskets did you take up in the time when you thought you didn't have enough? How many baskets did you take up? And Jesus said, because one day he told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then they thought he was talking about bread because, you know, they didn't take bread with them on that particular trip. And Jesus was saying, I'm not talking about that. You know, I'm talking about something else. And then they realized that he wasn't talking about bread. But there was a lesson there. You know, in Mark chapter 8, you know, they took up so many fragments after feeding 5,000 from five loaves. It took up a lot of fragments. You know, in Mark, you know, they fed 4,000 in one place. In Mark chapter 8, 20, fed, you know, Joe was talking about, well, you know, let me just read it. Mark chapter 8, I want to read verses 19 to 21. This is what Jesus was asking them as he, you know, trying to get them to cast their minds back, you know, on his ability to do these things. He said, when I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets did you take up? They said, 12. And Jesus said, well, okay, think about it. Those 12 baskets that you took, where did it come from? It was a small boy's lunch, which you thought was not enough. Because Andrew and the rest of them said, well, where are we going to get the money to buy enough? And even if we did, I mean, how much money would we have to spend? Even if the stores were open, how much money would we have to spend to buy enough bread for all these people? And Jesus said, well, what do you have? I said, no, just small boy's lunch. I volunteered it. And Jesus said, well, it is enough. So he asked them here as a reminder, how many baskets did you take up when I broke five loaves among 5,000? They said, 12 baskets. So I said, okay. And when I broke seven loaves among 4,000, I said, how many did you take up? They said, 7. I said, okay. If you had little that you thought was not enough, and I took it and blessed it to give you abundance to the point where you gathered so much afterwards, why are you now thinking that I'm talking to you about physical supply? So Jesus is reminding you. So this is why we give testimony. You can testify to your own soul of what the Lord has done to remind you. You have to cast your mind back. Or you can testify even others. And you can use your word of testimony to jar your memory. You know that, look, when God did this thing, my goodness, look at what he did when I didn't have. Well, and strengthen yourself with the same. And Jesus is reminding them here, you know. So when you think your salary is not enough, when you think, well, what am I going to do? My business is not even producing. When you are facing with all these things, and when there are uncertainties coming, well, I'll be retiring in a few months or a few years. I don't even have a pension. I'm not even have enough and all of that. Think again. the Lord can supply your needs even beyond your means. Now, one way of his doing that is if you are prospering in excess now, one lesson is put away for the rainy day. Don't put everything in your bread basket and eat it all up at once. Put some in your storehouses. The Lord said he will bless your bread basket. That's what you consume now. And your storehouse, which is for later. So, but even if you didn't have opportunity to put away, you know, because you couldn't put away, you didn't have enough. Praise the Lord. I remember some years ago when I first came into this country, it was hard for me to even have savings. You know, my wife used to encourage me then, and bless her heart, you say, look, we need to save. I said, save what? I can't even make ends meet. And what am I going to save when I'm still struggling to pay my bills? But she knew the principle was the right thing. You got to save no matter how little. Well, later on, you know, I had to figure out how to get rid of the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the locust, and the palmer worm. I was eating up my blessing. What was it? Indebtedness. You know, and I got into credit card debt and all these other things, and it was way over my head. Now, I'm telling you this story now. This was perhaps close to 40 years ago. I don't do those things anymore. But then, you know, didn't have the wisdom. Didn't have the wisdom. So stay out of debt. Because why should they take away your bed? Because the borrower is servant to the lender. So stay away from it. Many people don't. And the system that we have here, they will put those credit cards in front of you. It'll bring you into bondage. So, well, that was then, but this is now. But one day I had to make restitution. You know, sometimes you have to do a 180. And this is a lesson covering many aspects. We're also covering wisdom out of this lesson, and prudence, even financial prudence. And I've told the story of, you know, you going down the wrong road and you realize that you've missed the turn, but you keep going, you know, with the hope that you will magically reach the place where you are supposed to be going. You already know you missed the turn, but you keep going anyway, you know, and just maybe somehow I will get there. No, you will not get there. You will be farther away and farther away. You got to do a 180. That's right. And I experienced that physically one time. I missed the turn and I kept going, hoping that I will find another turn. And they had this divided highway and there was no turn for the next 30 miles. And I was panicking because the car was running out of gas. But the Lord made a way. I found a place to turn around. But the lesson taught me that you've got to turn around to the place where you missed the turn. Don't think that, oh, I'll just join in front. What if there's no way to join in front? You know, this is the lesson in life that many of us do. You're doing the wrong thing and you keep doing the wrong thing with the hope that somehow magically, you know, everything will work out. No, everything is not going to work out. You're going to have to fix it. Take a U-turn. When we're going down the wrong path, you are overspending, you know, you are doing the wrong thing, you're putting yourself in debt and all of these things, and you think that you just somehow keep going and then everything will just work out. No, it's not going to. I have known people that lost everything because of credit card bills that they could not pay. It happens all the time in this great America. This place that people say, oh, is a land of bread and wine and milk and honey and all these things, you'll be surprised. For those of you who don't live in the U.S., you think that. But the people that live in the U.S., they find out very quickly. There's a lot of homeless people, perhaps in the U.S. more than anywhere else, because of foolishness. Many of them overspend. Many of them just plunder. Plunder all the things that God give them. That's a new word, plunder. Spend, blunder. all the things that God give them, they just plunder everything away. You know, and then when they begin to be in want, and if you can't pay, you'll find yourself out on the street. That's just that simple. That's why a lot of people end up homeless. They're not crazy people. I see people on the street and they're homeless. Don't think that they have lost their mind. They're not crazy. Many of them, you know, they're in their right minds. So they stay long enough on the street, they might start to lose their mind. But in the first place, they were in their right minds. They were just foolish. It was like this prodigal son when he became homeless and he was trying to eat from pigs' food that nobody even gave him. You know, he was a victim of his own errors and foolishness. You know, now when he came to senses, though, he shook himself, said, "Look, I got to fix this." People need to do that. There are some of us that need to say, "Look, I've got to fix this. I need to do a 180. Now, fix it now before it gets too bad. Learn now, you know, when you are, some of you are in the light right now. Some of you are, you know, in times of refreshing. And some of you will come into times of refreshing because of these messages we've been preaching. And we've been telling you to know how you ought to do. So pray that you know the Lord may know, just like the children of Isaac that knew, understood the times, knew what to do. Well, I've been telling you that you need to pray so that you will know what to do. Here is one of the things that you need to know what to do. When there is abundance that comes, and it will come. What are you going to do? Are you going to spend it all? Well, you know, you should build for the future. You should invest in the future. Either you put it away or invest in something that's good. The cankerworm is not going to eat it up. The locust and rust will not eat it up. Jesus himself said, well, lay up your treasure in things that are secure. Don't put your stuff where rust will eat it up, moth will eat it up, where cankerworm will eat it up. And you lose everything. And then you begin to be in want, you know, so the Lord will show you. But this is a very broad lesson, and you got to know how to dissect it. Psalm 127 verse 2 also tells you that, look, you know, when things are beyond your means, in a roundabout way it says that, you know, God can, you know, give you the grace that you need. You know, let's read Psalm 127 and see how we derive that out of what it is saying. That's not exactly what it says, but you can derive it. And that's what we need to do when we read the scriptures. We got to derive things that the scripture is actually saying. You know, he says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth beloved sleep. What does it mean? It means that when all your labor still falls short, you stay up late, you lose your sleep because you are trying to figure out how, you know, what next to do. You rise up early, you work 3 jobs and so forth, and you still can't make it. Well, you know, you got to look for wisdom and inspiration of the Almighty. And people, a lot of hardworking people, they mean very well. They work very hard. They'll do it, find a second job, they'll do it. You know, and sometimes it's still not enough. They'll find a third job, they'll do it. And sometimes it's still not enough. In the meantime, you have less and less time to worship the Lord. Because that's Pharaoh's tactics. Let there be more burdens put upon the people so that they will not have time to say, we want to go and worship the Lord. So you have to do a second job. That takes away your weekend. You have to do this and this and that. You know, well, but sometimes you have to do it. You got to do what you got to do. What am I going to do if I, you know, I recognize all of that. And I'm not saying, you know, we're not making light of people's situation. I'm trying to give you some hope and some wisdom here that you need to make preparations. Say, Proverbs chapter 6 says, go to the ant. The ant makes preparation for the winter, makes his preparation in the summer. So you've got to make preparation for the winter while you are in the summer. When the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, don't blow it all. You know, put away the 20% like Joseph taught, because all of a sudden, those times, I told you the other day, since it's a time, it has a beginning and it has an ending. Yeah, as long as it's called time, you know, so when the times of refreshing, you know, that came even from the presence of the Lord, once you are out of that season, then what? Well, if you made preparation, you will remain in season. And if you trust the Lord, he can continue to give you out of season blessings. But one way that God gives us out of season blessings is, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, if this is the only thing you get out of this today, get it. You know, one way that the Lord gives us out of season blessings is give you knowledge and understanding of what to do when you are in season. This is it. You know, you got to have knowledge and understanding. And if you find that you are going down the wrong path today, you need to make a 180. Don't think that you just keep going and suddenly you still get to where you're supposed to get to when you already missed the mark. No. You know, you got to turn around. You know, so amend your ways, saith the Lord. And some of us are doing the wrong thing and keep doing the wrong thing and hope that somehow everything will turn out right. No. You got to change. Repent also means 180. You know, change your thinking about the kingdom. As I said, repent. The kingdom is at hand. It means change your thinking. You know, do a 180, amend your ways. You know, one of the ways that we need to amend is, you know, this culture of overspending and overextending yourself just because you are in a time of flourishing, especially here in the United States. Or the Western world. You know, some people don't even have enough, you know, let alone overspend. But you who have enough and more and you overspend, you know, and then you later begin to be in one, God cannot help you. Because he tell you that, look, I already made provision for you. What did you do with all that excess that I gave you? So did you even help your brethren who are in need? Did you even put away for the time of, you know, the season of that might eat up your plenty? 7 years of plenty and abundance, and they had overflow everywhere. But then here comes 7 years of, you know, illness, meanness, famine, shortages, and everything. You eat up even the remembrance of all that excess. But Joseph made provision in the time of plenty. So we also need to make provision in the time of plenty. Now, that being said, put all the message, excuse me, put all the message together. We'll find out God is also able to supply your needs. So I'm trying to balance this message. There's part that we have to do. There's part that the Lord also does. You know, for God to be able to supply, I mean, not able, for God to supply your needs beyond your means, you got to do things the way the Lord instructs. And how did he say it? Well, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And those that will be rich will fall into many diverse hurts. If you are pursuing all the time, all that you pursue is how you can do better, be richer, be this and this. Well, you may get it, but you will fall into many diverse snares. But if you pursue the Lord, The Bible says that all these things, Matthew 6 and 33, shall be added unto you. let's try to take God at his word. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I will not stand by my word. Will you turn your heart unto me, and will you seek me with all your heart? For there is none that seeketh the Lord with all his heart that the Lord hath disappointed. Will you turn therefore with all your heart unto me and seek me and pursue the things of the kingdom first and see if I will not bless you like I said? That's right. That's it. That's point blank the prophetic word unto you today. Let's seek the Lord first. And his righteousness. Well, while you're doing it, he'll be dropping words in your ears. He'll be giving you instruction. He'll be sealing instruction. Even while you're sleeping, while man slept, the Lord sealed instruction. He'll be sealing instruction in your heart. He'll be giving you understanding. And then you find out that this understanding is what will actually give you an advantage over and during the rainy day. The rainy day is a speech, an idiom that when you can't do anything. But in this case, it'll be during the dry season. Let's put it that way. In the dry season, what you've stored up in the fruitful season will help you. You know, that's one way that God can meet our needs out of season. He can do it. God wants to show us and teach us. Hosea was very bold, very, very bold. He said, look, you will perish. You will suffer if you do not use wisdom. I mean, that's boldness. He's not even sugarcoating anything. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject you. I mean, my goodness. And as if that's not even bad enough. Say that you will be no priest unto me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. You know, so if we allow the law of the Lord to get away from our sights, we're going to lose a lot of things. And the Lord said, I also will forget your children. And that's the worst part. My goodness, that's heritage that should come later. You know, children are successors. What he's saying here is that you don't use wisdom now. You know, in succession thing, years that will follow, you will regret many insights into this one verse. But knowledge, you know, is the key that is missing here that causes people to have regrets even later on in life. That's what children represent. You know, children represent your later years. So later years, you have regret. If you don't use wisdom now, the Lord says, yeah, you'll be destroyed. This man was very, very bold. So our prayer today is that the Lord give us understanding of all these things. Let me summarize this. And I want to give plenty of time left for you to give your shares and your lessons and your reactions. Knowing that for the past week, we have been talking about times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Knowing that we have talked about, you know, many things, including praying for understanding that we may know what we ought to do in those times of refreshing. This is an answer for what we ought to do. You know, or somewhere in this lesson, there is an answer of some of the things that you ought to do in the times of refreshing. Before, we also talked about building. You know, when God gives you rest, that's when you expand. Well, God gives you extra. That's when you put that extra to work for you for the later time. Lest it appears as if your children will be forgotten. Your children are years ahead. That's what it means. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's believe the Lord, but let's use wisdom. You know, there's a saying that says, well, if you find yourself that you are falling into a ditch, if you have faith, God will pull you out of it. Doesn't matter what ditch you are in. If you have real faith, you can climb out of that ditch somehow. God will get you out of there. But on the other hand, if you had used prudence and wisdom, you might have not fallen into that ditch in the first place. You know, the prudent man will see the ditch and he will avoid it. The foolish, they will fall into that ditch and then they will be praying and fasting. And then, well, God will answer you eventually, but you would have suffered because of lack of knowledge. You suffer a lot. The sheep that wanders away from the fold, the shepherd will find him, but he will suffer a lot. He'll be running from wild animals. Sometimes he might be caught in a trap or all kinds of things will happen. They think he will be in jeopardy. The shepherd is looking. The shepherd is going to find him and bring him back. But in the meantime, he will suffer many things. You know, there are a lot of things that are avoidable if we use and seek wisdom from the Lord. That's our lesson for today. I try to bring it in many different perspectives. Let me just read, you know, one or two other scriptures for you as a reminder. Yesterday's lesson was on the part that we must do, you know, which is the DO, and the trust that we must have in God's blessing, which is the DEW, and the answer of peace that will be coming to you in due, which is D-U-E, season. Now, Genesis 27 and 28, powerful stuff. The dew of heaven be upon you. Part of the dew of heaven is wisdom that you get out of lessons such as this. Because wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get it. And with all that getting, get understanding. I pray that the Lord will see us as wise and prudent. Who then is that wise and prudent servant? Let's be that wise and prudent servant. Father, I pray for your children who have been listening patiently to this lesson. Lord, when they are in the days of plenty before the evil times come, give them understanding of this lesson. Stuff that you need to do to put away for the rainy day or for the day of adversity or for the day of scarcity, just like the lesson that Joseph taught. But then after we have done all and it's still not enough, after you wake up early and stay up late and yet it is not enough, then you must trust the Lord to give you increase even beyond your means. The different parts of this lesson. I give the Lord the praise. I give the Lord the glory. And for those of us who are in times of refreshing, and there are blessings and overflow and running over, I pray that the Lord will give you wisdom of what to do, you know, and what to do with the increase, you know, how to prepare for the future and how also to help others. The Lord give us all wisdom. And at the end of the day, let the Lord be glorified in every aspect of our life. Whether we are up or down, Paul said, I'm instructed in all things on how, when I'm in season, I'm full. Yeah, that's good. And when I'm out of season, I'm in want or whatever. I said, look, I have learned every which way to be able to cope, because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. May the Lord grant us the grace to be able to come out on top in every situation, in season or out of season, and our entire lives may be to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.